Suddenly the nail gun felt too heavy for her to hold against his spine, even with both hands. She lowered the weapon and felt as though she had come back to reality. She was aware of Niedermann muttering something incoherent. He was speaking German. He was talking about a devil that had come to get him. She knew that he was not talking to her. He seemed to see somebody at the other end of the room. She turned her head and followed his gaze. There was nothing there. She felt the hairs rise on the back of her neck. She turned on her heel, grabbed the iron rod, and went to the outer room to find her shoulder bag. As she bent to retrieve it, she caught sight of the knife. She still had her gloves on, and she picked up the weapon. She hesitated a moment and then placed it in full view in the center aisle, between the stacks of packing crates. With the iron rod, she spent 3 minutes prising loose the padlock so that she could get outside. She sat in her car and thought for a long time. Finally, she flipped open her mobile. It took her 2 minutes to locate the number for Swavelshire MC's clubhouse.
Yeah?
Niemann, she said.
Wait.
She waited for 3 minutes before Sonny Niemann came to the phone.
Who's this?
None of your fucking business, Salander said in such a low voice that he could hardly make out the words.
He could not even tell whether it was a man or a woman.
All right. So what do you want?
You want a tip about Niedermann?
Do I?
Don't give me shit. Want to know where he is or not?
I'm listening.
Salander gave him directions to the brickworks outside Nortelia. She said that he would be there long enough for Niemann to find him if he hurried. She closed her mobile, started the car and drove up to the gas station across the road. She parked so that she had a clear view of the brickworks. She had to wait more than 2 hours. It was just before 1:30 in the afternoon when she saw a van drive slowly past on the road below her. It stopped at the turning off the main road, stood there for 5 minutes and then drove down to the brickworks. On this December night, twilight was setting in. She opened the glove box and took out a pair of Minolta 16x50 binoculars and watched as the van parked. She identified Niemann and Valtari with 3 men she did not recognize. New blood. They had to rebuild their operation. When Niemann and his pals had found the open door at the end of the building, she opened her mobile again. She composed a message and sent it to the police station in Nortelia. Cop killer R. Niedermann in old brickworks by the gas station outside Skederid, about to be murdered by S. Niemann and members of Swavelshire MC. Women dead in pit on ground floor. She could not see any movement from the factory. She bided her time. As she waited, she removed the SIM card from her phone and cut it up with some nail scissors. She rolled down the window and tossed out the pieces. Then she took out a new SIM card from her wallet and inserted it in her phone. She was using a Comviq cash card, which was virtually impossible to track. She called Comviq and credited 500 kroner to the new card. 11 minutes after her message was sent, 2 police vans, with their sirens off but with blue lights flashing, drove at high speed up to the factory from the direction of Nortelje. They parked in the yard next to Niemann's van. A minute later, 2 squad cars arrived. The officers conferred and then moved together towards the brickworks. Salander raised her binoculars. She saw one of the policemen radio through the registration number of Niemann's van. The officers stood around waiting. Salander watched as another team approached at high speed 2 minutes later. Finally, it was all over. The story that had begun on the day she was born had ended at the brickworks. She was free. When the officers took out assault rifles from their vehicles, put on Kevlar vests, and started to fan out around the factory site, Salander went inside the shop and bought a coffee and a sandwich wrapped in cellophane. She ate standing at a counter in the cafe. It was dark by the time she got back to her car. Just as she opened the door, she heard 2 distant reports from what she assumed were handguns on the other side of the road. She saw several black figures, presumably policemen, pressed against the wall near the entrance at one end of the building. She heard sirens as another squad car approached from the direction of Uppsala. A few cars had stopped at the side of the road below her to watch the drama. She started the Honda, turned onto the E18, and drove home. It was 7 that evening when Salander, to her great annoyance, heard the doorbell ring. She was in the bath, and the water was still steaming. There was really only 1 person who could be at her front door. At first she thought she would ignore it, But at the third ring she sighed, got out of the bath and wrapped a towel around her. Pouting, she trailed water down the hall floor. She opened the door a crack.
"Hello,"
Blomqvist said. She did not answer.
"Did you hear the evening news?"
She shook her head.
"I thought you might like to know that Ronald Niedermann is dead. He was murdered today in Nortelje by a gang from Svavelshire MC.
"Really?" Salander said.
"I talked to the duty officer in Nortelje. It seems to have been some sort of internal dispute. Apparently Niedermann had been tortured and slit open with a knife. They found a bag at the factory with several hundred thousand kroner."
"Jesus."
"The Svavelshire mob was arrested, but they put up quite a fight. There was a shootout and the police had to send for a backup team from Stockholm. The bikers surrendered at around 6.
"Is that so?"
"Your old friend Sonny Niemannen bit the dust. He went completely nuts and tried to shoot his way out."
"That's nice." Blomqvist stood there in silence. They looked at each other through the crack in the door.
"Am I interrupting something?" he said.
She shrugged. "I was in the bath."
"I can see that. Do you want some company?" She gave him an acid look. "I didn't mean in the bath. I've brought some bagels," he said, holding up a bag, "and some espresso. Since you own a Jura Impressa X7, you should at least learn how to use it."
She raised her eyebrows. She did not know whether to be disappointed or relieved. "Just company?"
"Just company," he confirmed. "I'm visiting a good friend. If I'm welcome, that is."
She hesitated. For 2 years, she had kept as far away from Mikael Blomqvist as she could. And yet he kept sticking to her life like gum on the sole of her shoe, either on the net or in real life. On the net it was okay. There he was no more than electrons and words. In real life, standing on her doorstep, he was still fucking attractive. And he knew her secrets just as she knew all of his. She looked at him for a moment and realized that she now had no feelings for him. At least not those kinds of feelings. He had, in fact, been a good friend to her over the past year. She trusted him. Maybe. It was troubling that one of the few people she trusted was a man she spent so much time avoiding. Then she made up her mind. It was absurd to pretend that he did not exist. It no longer hurt her to see him. She opened the door wide and let him into her life again.